Today I will confess and believe that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. All right, praise the Lord. I was going to say that our YouTube subscribership is continuing to grow, so we're getting more and more people, like I said, out there interested in listening to what it is that we've said. Sometimes if you go on the channel, you won't see that or the likes or dislikes. I do that for a reason, mainly because I've noticed that people tend to judge something based on what they see to start, you know. So if you preach a message and let's say you had 25 people that commented on it and you got 20 dislikes and 5 likes, people tend to kind of filter that through their thinking process before they even look at anything. And so I've found that it's better to not expose any of that information. You know, do you want to listen to the message or you don't? It doesn't matter how many people are listening, how many people on the channel. Do you want to listen to the message or not? And I found that to be better. You know, if you go on a channel and they've got 4 million subscribers, people tend to think, oh, well, they must be saying something. And you find a lot of times they ain't saying much of anything. But it drives that. And so if you're wondering why when you go there you don't see it, that's why. Because I'd like people just, look, listen to the message, make a decision for yourself and move on one way or the other. But it is interesting. It is growing for us. We have a lot of out-of-the-country views. That's good, which means then that we have a lot of people that are in other countries that are also listening to what we're doing. Today, the message that we have is entitled Imagination Part 3. Now, I want to say this to you all, and I know that you all know this. I'm just going to say this for the purposes of people that are online and our local membership. But, you know, the messages that we teach are not just intended to try to be just something nice to say, and that was cute or whatever, but to literally help to change our lives and to position us in a place where we can get the benefit of whatever's going on, whether in our marriages, our relationships, on our job, the different things that are going on in our lives, that this can actually change and benefit that if we put it to practice, like Sister Miranda was talking about this morning. You know, because here now you've got somebody that might want to be a talebearer for the moment, and you already got it right there telling you what God thinks about that. And then in one place, the Bible is saying, don't lightly esteem God either, because when you do that, you can find yourself in a position you don't want to be. And what people fail to understand, that the scriptures are filled with God's admonition that he will not, once we are his children, allow us to live the way we want to live. And that means he will discipline us. And so sometimes a lot of the trouble people are having is directly connected to the things they are doing that are lightly esteeming God. And they don't, I mean, it's almost like a disconnect. You know, it's kind of like I go to church and I'm a Christian and then I have my life I got to live. And they're like two different things. Instead of, like I said on Wednesday, Jesus prayed, Father, I want them to be one like we are one. I want them to be one in us. So my thing is that the best way we can be all that God wants us to be is surely to be one with God. If we can become one with God, and we don't have to do all of this stuff that all of the other religious type people and these other folk out there are trying to get us to do, all these swamis and all that. You don't have to empty your mind. You don't need a bunch of crystals. You don't need incense, and you don't need to chant all night. Jesus prayed, Father, I pray that they might be one like we're one. The Bible says that if we pray according to God's will, he hears us. And we know we have the petitions that we've prayed for because God has said that when he hears us, he will answer our prayer if we pray in accordance with his will. So since we know Jesus said, I want them to be one even as we are one, that's God's will. So when I pray it, I know I have that answer and I don't have to do anything different. I don't have to change, you know, I don't need flowing garments and walking around looking like a swami to be one with God and to know it. But what I want to talk to you today is dealing with something on the terms of imagination. We talked about this already and began to deal with it, and we showed over the last 2 weeks how your imagination can really create havoc in your life if you're not careful. On Wednesday, I went further to explain a little bit about it in Bible study, but today I want to go further into now, how do we harness and manage this for ourselves as believers according to the word so we can get the best benefit out of this for our life. Now, the thesis that I have for you today It's changed from the first one. And it says this: the imagination is not about what you think, but about how you think. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Imagination is not about what you think. Imagination is about how you think. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Now, we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, to just set the groundwork for where we are. And then we're going to move to some scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 3, says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Now, in Philippians, we're going to go there, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 3 through 8. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 8. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." All right, now we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 12, and then we're going to focus there for a minute, and then we'll hit a few other scriptures as we go through this. Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to read verse 1 through 3. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for everything that you've done in our lives. We thank you for the power of your Spirit, and we thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Father, we know that by your Spirit we have access to life, and that life more abundantly. We pray today that you will help us to see how you designed us. The Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Help us to see how this works so that we can use it to our advantage, that we might grow and become all you desire us to be. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, I want you to think about what I said for the thesis, and that was that the imagination is not about what you think, but about how you think. And to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Now, just like I said, and Sister Miranda mentioned this morning, or Sister April, I think it did, all the scriptures that we've read, if you've been keeping up like I asked you to, and that's just something you got to decide what you want to do about that, we will finish the book of 3 John Tuesday, because we're going to do 2 John tomorrow, 3 John, and then by Wednesday we'll finish the book of Jude. By that means then that you would have read every epistle in the New Testament that since I asked you whenever we started. I don't remember when that was, maybe July, somewhere in there. And if you did what I asked you to do, you have read every single epistle by Wednesday this week. Now that means then that you are armed, if you will, with the knowledge of every single book in the Bible that the apostles wrote except the book of Acts and the book of Revelation. And whether we do Revelation, I'll see, but we definitely want to do the first couple chapters, because for sure you'll see Jesus speaking to his church. And in the book of John is the only book where you really find John mentioning the word prosper. You know, he says, "I wish that you might be in health and your soul, and you prosper even as your soul is prospering." And you'll realize in that definitely the apostles are concerned, like Jesus was, with much more than what's happening here. that is not God's primary objective. That God's thing is that, hey, everybody's going to time out. There's going to come a point we're all going to die. We don't know what time out is, when it's going to be, how long you're going to be, but everyone is going. And that is going to be the real game day when we are now done, because there's nothing you can change about that day. And so we see each and every apostle hitting us with, remember this, remember this, remember this. And then we see probably more than anything, Solomon saying in Ecclesiastes, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. That's what God cares about more than anything, because he's going to judge everything you do on that day according to what it is and the secret intents of your heart. So the reality then is that a lot of the stuff that's going on around us, we say, is really not as important to God as it is to us. And the problem is much of it is taking us off track from God toward the day that should matter more than anything else. If you were talking to a woman, at least the ones that I've talked to who are getting married, wedding day is important to them. They spend all their time making sure they plan it. They spend all their time making sure that the invitations went out, making sure the favors are right, making sure that everything, the guest list, is who it's supposed to be and all of this. They make sure the caterer is right and everybody's doing their thing. The music, the perfect music for the wedding day. Everything's got to be just right. And then it takes me, if I try hard, 20 minutes, and it's over. Yeah, I have a longer wedding speech than some people like, but I think it's important on that day, so I spend more time talking. And when it's all over, 20 minutes. You just spent a year and a half getting ready for 20 minutes. But most people will say, but Pastor, you don't understand. It's an important day. Right. And that's what I'm trying to get people to understand about heaven. And that moment that all of a sudden is going to be the most important moment in your life, that if you didn't spend your lifetime preparing for it and doing things the way God said, it's going to be a messed up day. You know, now typically you can see it when it falls apart. You can see. I mean, I've only been to a few weddings that start absolutely on time. I mean, I've only been to a few. But I've been to some where the bride is actually in the building and they start an hour late. I don't even know how that happens. I don't know, but they be in the building. You know, they bought a building. Where, I mean, they rented a building where they could get dressed and everybody do everything so that they could be on time. They still an hour late. I don't know what that's about. But the point is that what? Other than that, everyone seems to expect that, though. I kept telling the groom in the last wedding I did, oh, it's okay, dude. Don't worry about it. I said, I've never been at a wedding that starts on time. Has it ever been this late? Well, no, not really, but it's going to be okay. And you encourage them because you know, even the guests, I don't know, maybe they've gotten accustomed to it too, because if we had started on time, we wouldn't have had nobody there, right? By the time we got started, place was filling up, right? Because even the guests come late, right? So the idea is that what we all know, though, that starting on time isn't as important as making sure that when we start, everything goes the way it's supposed to. You know, you want the little kids to come in like this, but everybody doing their thing, right? So that little time that we're preparing for such a great time, I want you to think about what Jesus said now and what the Bible tells us. Now, thinking, I wanna do this. Okay. There are two things we need to understand about the way we're designed. One is that God designed us physically and things impact us. And God designed us as spiritual beings where there are things that spiritually impact us. So in order for a man and a woman to have a baby, they have to have a physical relationship. They can't look at each other and spiritualize and pray a baby into existence. That don't happen. So we're physical and we are spiritual. So those together must be one so that when we meet God, he's going to be pleased with us and we can come on through the process. Well, when God designed us, part of the design of man was that God designed us with the ability to think and to reason. Part of that thinking and reasoning, the more scientists deal with cognition, just like they do with disease and other stuff, and they're figuring out more and more things. As they deal with cognition, thinking, what they have found is that they can kind of define it like this. It's the process of using your mind, whatever that is, because nobody can seem to put their finger on it, that Where is the mind? What is it? But we know we have one, we say, because we think. I mean, you know, you're listening to me now, so even though you can't put your finger on it, we know that we're processing what we're hearing. So it is the process of using one's mind to consider or reason about something. Now, I want you to consider some of the synonyms, which are common like words that people use for thinking. One is to conceive. Remember what James said? Let no man think when he's tempted of God. But God doesn't tempt any man. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. One of the words for thinking is conceiving. Another is to envision. Another is fancy. Another is imagine. Another is to realize. So when we start talking about thinking and we talk about a process, I want you to watch this and think about it. Instead of thinking about imagination, when you look at my thesis, imagination about what you think, but about how you think. I want you to think about imagination as the process and not the what. All right? Think about imagination as the process, not the what. Now, a lot of times people say, here we go again, Pastor, I'm going to be preaching them messages. Well, if you got to listen to it twice, okay, you know, it'll help you out. It'll be all right. But just think about it. The process, not the what. So I'm going to give you an example that maybe will help you. Let's use meat. A piece of meat, just a small piece of meat, as the thought, whatever it is, a small piece of meat. And what can you do with a piece of meat? You can put it in a grinder. You can put it in a freezer. You can put it in a refrigerator. You can put it in a garbage disposal. Now, each of those places that you put that meat will result in a different outcome. If you take that piece of meat and stick it in a grinder, you're going to grind it up. Now, the meat ain't gone. You've just changed it. You've ground it up. So we go from steak to hamburger, but you still got the meat. If you put it in the freezer, it goes from whatever it is to being hard like a brick. But it's still meat, rock hard meat. Put it in the refrigerator, it's meat, just colder meat. Put it in a garbage disposal, gone, washed away out of your house, right? Okay, so let's use meat as the thought. So you meet, no pun intended, you meet a thought. Now let's just take one. Let's do something that could work. Like, say, relationships, okay? Let's say, for instance, I'll use me and my wife as an example, okay? Not that any of this is true. I just would rather use us as an example instead of any of y'all, because I don't know your business like that. I ain't trying to know, just trying to help you a little bit. All right, let's say, for instance, my wife makes a statement to me, and in making whatever statement she made, I already have a stronghold. And I told y'all about strongholds. We talked about that. Attitudes. How you see things, right? It could be happened to, I was raised this way. Who knows? Maybe my mom was so overbearing that, you know, I got a problem with women talking to me about anything. Don't even try to correct me about nothing. I don't listen to women. I'm just saying. I ain't saying I'm like that. I'm just saying. Let's say that was the case, though, because my mom, let's say, was so whatever she was on me. Well, I've never broke that stronghold. Well, since I never broke that stronghold, it will now impact my thinking, my imagination, because it's not about what I think, it's about how I think. So now my wife attempts to tell me something that's probably right. But because of this stronghold and how I think, my imagination is, see, your problem is, you always trying to tell me what to do. You don't think I know what I'm doing? I'm a man. I'm 60 years old. What's wrong with you? Whoa, she says. Man, do your thing. I ain't trying to start nothing. Oh, you ain't got to start nothing. That's what's wrong with y'all. Y'all are, well, look at y'all, I went way out here. I got all kind of stuff I'm saying that ain't got nothing to do with what she was trying to do. And no matter how much she tells me, that's not what I meant. Now, my problem is the stronghold impacting the process. So instead of me doing what the word says and putting something in the garbage disposal, what I do with that comment that brings a thought, most people, if they're not careful, some put it in the refrigerator. A lot of people put it in the freezer. So you take that and you put it in the freezer and it gets nice and hard. So the next time you say something, I'm going to pull it out and I'm going to, when I hit you with it, because don't you remember the last time you said such and such? I told you. You open the freezer, pull it out, and it's hard as a brick. It ain't gone nowhere, nothing. And now you take it and you use the one you got along with that one. Bam! And each time you process that way, you are damaging your relationship, which God is telling you he wants to be right. So if God says, I want your marriage to work, I want your life to be right, I want your on the job for things to go well for you, I want this, it ain't gonna work no matter how many times you get the thoughts that are right if you're processing them wrong. So if your imagination, this is why Paul said that we are tearing down strongholds and casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What did Jesus say about that? It's okay for you to know, but if your process of thinking is jammed up, it don't matter how much I pull word inside of your head, you steadily taking things and putting it in the freezer instead of processing correctly. And this is the problem. So people will say, well, Pastor, okay, wow, so what are we doing? Well, what we got to do is figure out how to fix what's broke. Now, presuming that I've made my way through, because you can look at all of the, you can go in the world right now and listen to all the stuff people are arguing about out there. Most of it's tied to strongholds to start. Okay. It's either something that's got to do with purpose, something that got to do with timing, you know, or anything in that area of those strongholds that we talked about, right? Something to do with truth, okay? I'm living my truth. I'm living my authentic self. I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other. So you can't even accept that. So your imagination can't ever line up because these things are not right. So let's say, for instance, I can break the stronghold. Let's say I break the stronghold as it relates to whatever was going on with my mom, let's say. Now, you might say, well, how do you do that, Pastor? Well, when doing strongholds, we talked about that. First of all, what you do is you got to come to the knowledge of the truth that says anybody that's in Christ is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. You got to accept that. If you never accept that, your life can never change because you'll constantly be bringing back things from the past to your future. I remember what this one did to me. I remember what my mama did to me. I remember my. And as long as you concentrate on them thoughts, those thoughts are constantly doing something to you and they become a stronghold. You got to break them. Once you can break them and you get that part straight, that still ain't got nothing to do with how you think. How do you process things? In other words, this is why Christians have such a problem forgiving. Now, they know they're supposed to, and they've given up a lot of things, let's say. They've broken all these strongholds. But they cannot forgive certain things. Why? Because they keep putting stuff in the freezer. Yeah, instead of putting it in the garbage disposal, grinding it up, and washing it out the house, they put it in the freezer. Now, some say, well, I put it there, you know why? Because if you don't remember where you came from, you're liable to go back. And I ain't going to let you use me like you used me before. So as long as I'm thinking, well, but that has to do more with wisdom than what? Having to remember exactly what you did to me in order for me not to go back to the same place. I don't need to remember every detail. There's some people can give you the details of arguments they had with people 5 years ago. It's like right there. I remember we were sitting in Ruth Chris, and I lifted up my Coca-Cola to my mouth when you say, you don't remember? Now, some of this, I'm joking with y'all about some of these things, but I'm telling y'all, there are things I remember my wife said exactly when she said them. Because I remember when we first met, I had this habit of reading signs on the side of the road. I don't know where that came from. I think that because we were deprived as children. You know, we didn't have no Nintendos or playing cards and DVDs and all that stuff like Brother Lynch kids got. We didn't have all that. You know, all we had was you ride in the back seat and shut up. Stop it. What y'all doing back there? We trying to play like kids. Now I know it was normal. But back then, it was like, something wrong with y'all. Sit down. So I finally developed this thing where I would read road signs. You know, for Pans by the Stove, Roadhouse Grill. Office Depot. I learned how to read really well. While we were riding along, she was driving. We were in Lafayette on Johnson Street. Past an Office Depot. And she said, can you please stop that? And I said, what? You reading them signs? Now, you just injured my childhood, sister. I don't think you understand. This is my way of entertaining myself when I'm riding in the car. Now, you over there, you know, doing what you was doing, looking out the window, doing your thing. I ain't look over there and say, stop looking out the window. I just doing what I doing. But I remember when she said it. I'm telling you, to the day when she said it and where we were to the moment. For a while, I used to bring it up a lot. Especially if she said something I ain't like about what I was doing. I said, see, that's what I'm talking about. It been like that ever since I met you. What you talking about? You know what I'm talking about. We was riding in Lafayette in your car down Johnson Street. And all I was doing was my dear since I was a little boy, just looking at the sign. And I said, Office Depot, you told me, stop it. And you know, you think, why are we talking about that when this is what I just said? Because it's all linked. And it's been in the freezer, girl. I just pull it out every time I need it. Yeah, and then when I'm going to put it back in the freezer. And it ain't never went down to garbage disposal. Because the Bible says if you want to forgive somebody about something, you got to let it go. You got to grind it up. See, imagination is not just about what you're thinking. It's about how you think. And it's what then dictates your life. If all of a sudden, if you believe a certain way and you process things a certain way, it's not ever going to matter what someone says. This is why there's certain people that it doesn't matter. Their race, if they're a certain race, you can't tell nobody that they got any good in them. I'm telling you, they're going to tell you, no, mm-mm. Because what? The way they process based on something that has occurred and they've put that in the freezer. Or maybe they just refrigerated it. It don't come out so hard. See, this is what happens with Christians as we get better. We say, well, you know, I ain't like I used to be. Now, you know, remember, you used to feel like a brick when I hit you with it. That's because you were taking it out the freezer. Now, maybe you refrigerate it. You don't hit her so hard with it, but you remind her still. She still got to know the eggshell around that thing because you might get to going. Now, she didn't got to let me read signs again. Now, I get to read them. And I don't know if that's because it don't bother her no more. She just don't want to get in it. But, you know, I'm still trying to get that. But I can't help myself. I be driving down the street. I just, McDonald's. Burger King. I just call it out. I don't know why. I just do it, right?
AAA Auto. AutoZone. Chick-fil-A. Lowe's. Walmart, Best Buy. And I know you got to think, y'all already look agitated.
You know what I'm saying? So it gotta be I can understand why I might agitate her. But if you have to understand, how did this happen? Well, it goes all the way back to my childhood. And I didn't even realize how hard it was to break it as a habit. Now, although some might say, well, I don't think it would annoy me like that. Well, but you ain't her. And for whatever the reasons were, we the one living together and married, so we got to figure out how to what? Manage through it. But the reality is I have to realize that if my imagination is not functioning properly, then when I'm processing things, it's going to create a problem. Now, I want you to see something here. If you go to Colossians chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 1 through 3. Now we're going to start talking about on things that ultimately really going to matter for us when it comes to the kingdom of God. Not that these other things I'm talking about now don't necessarily matter, because they do. And this will help you understand why those things are happening to you. But I want you to look in Colossians chapter 3. This is what the Bible says. If ye then be risen with Christ. Now, does everybody in here agree that if you're a Christian, then you're risen with Christ? That's what the Bible says. If you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are here, you are dead, and your life is hid with God in Christ. Now, can you imagine how, if you don't understand that truth and you have a stronghold that doesn't understand this truth, why your process of thinking is going to be problematic? Because every time I introduce a thought to you that you ought to process a different way, you stick it in the freezer because it doesn't make sense to you. In other words, if the Bible says, listen to me, this is why I tell people, and some people just didn't understand it. I got some comments from outside, they just don't get it. When I said, when you were born, God didn't have no purpose for you like that. That is shocking to people. I mean, it's like shocking. Why? Because they got this idea of God. Now, where they got it from, I don't know. Because if you use the Bible, you're going to realize God never said that, except in a few distinct places where he may have said to Jeremiah, before I called you, I knew you in your mother's womb. Moses, maybe. Or some of these specific situations that were important, and those people almost had their lives just dictated. But for you to live thinking that that's how God is doing things, you do realize how crazy a life that could be, because until you know what he wants, you don't know what to do. But if the Bible teaches us that before we were in Christ, we were in the world without God, without hope, and on our way to hell, what kind of purpose you got? Well, some people say, well, you know, you just, God gave you one, you just got to find him. And when you find God, then you find the purpose. All that is foolishness and malarkey, and it ain't in the Bible. I challenge people to find it. They can't. So once you understand this, you say to yourself, okay, well then, Pastor, if what you're telling me is that then the scriptures say, if you are dead in Christ and you're risen with him, your life is hid with God. So this is why I can free myself to do whatever God says. Because so if he tells me, go down there and help these other people with their church and do whatever you're doing and blah, 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 you might want to say, but Lord, I got other things I need to be doing. No, you don't. You need to be doing what I want you to do right now. Set your mind on the things above, not on things on the earth, because your life is hid with me. You're dead. I got something for you, White, but it ain't here right now. Concentrate on what I want you to do here. So then I take any thought, and the process I process it through always puts it in the garbage disposal if it ain't going where God wants me to go. It goes in the garbage disposal, washed out. Yeah, okay, you see, you got to see this, you got to understand it. Because if you don't do that, what happens is you never can get where God wants you to be. So my wife, God says, love your wife like Christ loved the church. She does something I don't like. Well, hey, I'm sure I do things she don't like. You got to understand, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, because your life is hid. So then now I do what? I'm not so concerned about she's not making me happy as much as God has told me to love her like Christ loved the church. Therefore, anything she does that makes me unhappy, God could give a flip. God's concern is, are you loving her like Christ loves the church? So take your thought that makes you unhappy. Don't put it in a freezer to pull it out later. Don't put it in the refrigerator just to nourish it. Don't put it in the grinder so you ground it up. Put it in the garbage disposal and flush it away and never see it again. Now my imagination is working properly. No longer now do what? I get this thought that comes to me. She says something, and now my imagination begins to process saying things like, I knew I should have married somebody else. And you see how that can mess you up. Because once you start thinking that way, how you ever going to get straight? No, my imagination has to process the way God says it should process, which is that everything outside of his will goes in the garbage disposal. It can't go nowhere else. You can't put it on the shelf so you can pull it off and dust it off. You just can't do it. You have to understand. Imagination is not about what you're thinking. See, this is why, you know, you could be in a situation and you say, well, I'm not going to, I need to go on a diet, let's say. All right, let's say I say that. I need to go on a diet. And I can't eat this and I can't eat that. The only way I'm going to stick to that is to have a process that will get me to that end result. And the only way that works is that process has to tell me that at the end, I get what it is I deserve. All right, so God says, do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell? All right, let's go there first. Do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell? You go to heaven if you confess Christ, live the way God wants you to. Go to hell, don't confess Christ, don't live the way God wants you to. All right, so it's simple now. So everything in the middle, my imagination is dictated and the process functions to get me to the end. Which now means when all I got to know is what is the situation, what does God say about the situation, and if that thought doesn't line up with that, process it through the garbage disposal. That's the hardest problem people have. Why? Because they got all kind of other strongholds going on in their life at times. Like one, my purpose, or God wants me happy. Now, don't get me wrong, y'all. I ain't against happiness. I am just not. I'm serious. But just about every situation we get in, we put ourselves there. And if we ain't happy, let's back up for a minute, okay, before we start blaming on God. Because you can't keep bouncing in and out of situations thinking that's going to make you happy, because it doesn't. That's why people go from job to job and stuff like that. Because the bottom line is, I have to understand something. So if I'm on my job, let's say, and things are not going the way I want, my boss comes in and says something, I get a thought, I ought to quit. Now, there's a reason you're thinking that way. And either it needs to go in the garbage disposal and out, or maybe you do need to quit. It could be you somewhere you weren't supposed to be on a job, and now God's trying to move you out. Why? By allowing pressure to just keep pounding you. But all you got to do is look at the reasoning behind the thought, and it'll help you understand. I'm sick of them because they get on my nerves. Da-da-da-da-da. Typically, if you follow it enough, you'll be able to realize that God's going to say something to you like what Sister Miranda said this morning, something in the scripture. You want me to like you, don't you? Okay, well then show love towards your boss or whatever. And then what? You know, process it through the garbage disposal. See, it's not so much about what I'm thinking. This is why so many people have so much trouble. It's like, okay, I'm gonna stop eating pie. Pizza. My wife found a card this weekend. Boy, it's so funny. They got a dog on the front of it with a big old pizza. And he says, yeah, I'm into fitness. Fitness puts this whole pizza in my mouth. I was like, I can't stop laughing. Fitness put this whole pizza in my mouth. Yeah, he trying to fitness this whole pizza in his mouth. Fitting this whole pizza in my mouth. That's what fitness he into. Now, if he understands the purpose of fitness and where it's supposed to take you, then every thought that comes against that, I realize the process I must use puts it in the garbage disposal. Do you understand that most people's problem is they don't know what to put in the garbage disposal? So what they think is they can just think happy thoughts and they'll get happy. You can say happy words. That's why people say, just say positive affirmations. So you look in the mirror every day. It ain't gonna bother me when my wife tells me don't read signs. It don't bother me when my wife say don't read signs. It don't bother me when my wife say don't read signs. And then we in the car, don't read that sign. Ah! Why? Process. No, you ought to realize it ain't about what you thinking. It's about how you process what you think. This is what imagination is. You must cast it down and use the correct process of imagining. You cannot just say, oh, well, by sitting here thinking happy thoughts, you're going to be happy. God didn't design you that way. God, everybody gets temporary. Look, this is why I'm telling you. Go online anywhere and listen to people talk about manifesting your destiny. Even if they don't believe in Jesus now. Manifesting. You can bring to you the positive. All you need to do is think positive. If you think, okay, go stand out there when that hurricane coming and think all the positive thoughts you want. Go down right now where them utility lines have been towed down and it's hot as heck out there and start telling them people you can manifest ice. You can manifest cold. Just stand there. All that foolish crap works when everything going all right. Long as we're in an environment where we got a little water and it's cool and we in our house, we got air and we watching our TV set, America's a great place for it, or Britain, or those kind of countries, because everything's great. We all got jobs, we're doing things, so we got time to entertain this kind of foolishness. You can manifest positivity, just be positive. Look in your mirror. Some people ain't got no mirror. Look in your mirror and affirm yourself until the heat is on. The lights go out, the electric out, and it don't take but 3-4 days and people shooting each other at the gas station. Over some gas. How does that happen? Normal people fighting over gas. Why? What's going on? Process of thinking. Process of thinking. Whatever it is that's causing you to think you got to get this, you got to just have this. You got to have this because you didn't imagine something if you don't. Your generator going to cut off and you're going to burn up or something else going to happen. All your food going to spoil. Whatever you didn't imagine. Instead of the end result being what? Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be cast into the midst of the sea, we know God is on our side. Be still and know that I am God. Now, you understand that when that's your end of what you know, how your process of thinking is impacted. I don't need to do nothing because I'm going to be still because I know my Redeemer lives. I know I'm one with Christ. This is not just something I'm saying. I know it's so. Why do you know? Because Jesus prayed it. Tell me a prayer Jesus didn't get answered. Jesus prayed it. Father, I pray that they be one with us. So then I get on my knees and I pray. Father, I pray that Jesus' prayer might come to pass in my life, that I might be one with you and him. And I know that I have the answer to my prayer because the scripture says it. When we pray according to his will, Jesus prayed it. We have the petitions we've asked God. Now I can rest. So whatever's going on, I don't process those thoughts that way. Oh my God, the lights went out. What's going to happen next? I don't know because I'm still. My imagination processes on a be still and know that I am God. Know that you're one with me. Know that whatever's going on the earth, no matter how bad it gets, no matter what you see happening, I'm in control. I'm in charge. There's nothing you need to fear. Though the earth be removed and the mountains be cast in the midst of the sea, there I am in the middle of it all. Hold on to what you know. See, when this becomes the case, the devil can't impact my imagination like that. Now I am in control of my process the way God designed it. See, God designed Adam and Eve with a process that worked, that they could imagine the names of the animals. He could this, he could that, all that could come to him. But then when the devil showed up, I want you to imagine this. If you eat that tree, you're going to be like God. Now, instead of me functioning and processing with the understanding that God said, leave that alone. I process now based on touch it and you'll be like God. So it's not about what I'm thinking now. It's about process. End result typically drives process. Just look at anything. Anything that's designed is designed based on what you're trying to achieve. Just go look. If you're trying to achieve a tight fit, well, you don't have loose clothes. They tight. Whatever you're trying to achieve. So what is God trying to achieve? Look at what it says up there. Let this mind be in you that was also in Jesus. Now, if you listen to many Christians, you'll realize why this is just off. Now, I want you to, I'm gonna show you something. Let me get over here in Philippians chapter 3. And this is scary if you think about it. This is what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. Now, we already see him telling us, let this mind be in us that was in Christ. And then all of a sudden, he goes further in Philippians chapter 3 and he begins to discuss something. Now, remembering that what Paul had all of these credentials. Paul had everything to say about his life in the flesh, that he had it going on like that. Everything was just perfect, perfect for Paul, if you wanted to look at his flesh. But look at what he says in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. You know, think about the Christians you know. And think about how many Christians you know really say that the things that they were gained for them, they really counted them loss for Christ. The reason most people, you can't even get them to church half the time is because they're so busy doing other things. They haven't lost anything for Christ. Everything is, you know, Christ is convenient. And in America, he's become even less of that. It used to be being a Christian was the thing you wanted to be. Because then you what? You could go get a job somewhere and everybody were Christians and all that. But now it's almost like they don't even know if you want to be that. And look at what it says next. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Paul says, look, y'all, I don't know about y'all, but everything that was in my life, everything that the world thought was important, everything that people said you wanted to be, I count that loss so that I might win. This impacts Paul's imagination. He sees himself with Christ. He realizes that the only way he's going to get there is he's got to cut this thing loose. You can't keep holding on. It's like that's why it keeps being compared to marriage. Now, I'm sorry, but you can't marry no woman and then be hanging on to some other women. You got to cut that stuff loose. Well, she my friend. I don't care, man. Just cut it loose. Some things in the world we don't understand. You got to cut it loose. You got to let it go. You make a decision. This is who you love. This is what you want. And you cut it loose and you move on with that, forgetting everything else behind, even though it might have been great. Over. That's how you win loyalty and trust. That's how God begins in the move, because he realizes what? You married him. He can count on you. You're going to be there for what he needs, when he needs you, when he calls your name, when he asks for something, you're going to be there. And you're not going to be counting your own life. Well, how much this going to cost me? How much I'm going to have to do for this? No, you do it because you love God and your imagination has you already in the throne room. You set your affections on Christ. Imagine the wife who understands her husband's affection is set on her. That means everything he does, every situation, he's thinking about her and how he can impact that relationship. He's dead to his other life, and he's what? Fixated on that one. Oh, yeah, that'll impact how you think. Everything that comes into your life that tries to do what? Pull you away from her, get you to do something different, you're casting it down. You don't even get close to it. You don't have nothing to do with it. You see, all of a sudden, things begin to change. Now, you don't have to have nobody telling you what not to do. You already, because you've set your affection. Paul says, look, I counted dung. Now, I ain't going to tell y'all what that word really means. We use a different word. Start with an S. That's what Paul said. That's how I count all that stuff in my life. I count it like that. That I can do what? Win Christ. See the way people talk today, you think all the Christians think they all going to heaven. They just all got their mind made up. They going to heaven. Why? I guess they go to church or they name Christ. Here's a man that wrote 3/4 of the New Testament saying, I had to cut every all of it loose. I count myself not to have attained, that I might win. The man ain't say he won yet. You go to church today. Lord Jesus, let's keep reading. Lord, look what he says. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death, if by any means, he says, I might attain. That ain't how people talk today. You let people talk today, they, oh, well, I got that. Why do I work out every day? You know, on my 60th birthday, there were some people who would make some comments about, you know, a picture I had sent them and everything, and it would be very positive comments. But I tried to make it clear to them. They talk about, well, God is really blessing you. Oh, yeah, he is, but I tell you what, he ain't getting on that treadmill every day. Well, he ain't. I have to do that. I have to get up and get on it. I got to be the one to decide what I'm going to do about it. God will strengthen me if I ask him. God will let me if I ask him. But guess what? You better get on that. And you better do it. Why do I do it? So that when I hit 70, people are going to be saying the same thing they said when I hit 60. And when I hit 80, the same thing. It ain't going to just be, well, God blessed you. No, by the end, though, people might be willing to listen to what I'm saying. You better change how you think. You got to get your imagination right. Because if you don't see yourself a certain place, or you see yourself, the reason most people are like where they are at times is they say, oh, well, that's just, well, you know that happens when you get old. Oh, that's what your imagination telling you, huh? You just throw all the science out about what you eat and what you do and how you don't. None of that matter. Just hey, oh, okay, well, you keep on with that. That's not what it says. Just like you ain't getting to heaven as easy as they telling y'all. I ain't trying to scare you. Man, you may not be scared. I'm scared. I know I am. Paul said, when you read all those books we just read, the Bible says that the righteous going to scarcely be saved. So some people are going to be getting up there thinking, well, I ain't going to even get up there like that. The bottom line is that they're thinking they're going to die and go to heaven when actually they're just missing God all out. And look at what he says. He says, if by any means I might attain. He says, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect or mature. But I follow after it, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. And this dictates his imagination. Forgetting. Y'all say forgetting. I know y'all with me now. See, forgetting those things which are behind. Lee ex-wife, she gone. You don't even need to think about it no more. That's it. It's over with. Forget it. Done. You weren't supposed to get a divorce, but you did. And ain't nothing you can do about that. That's over with, forget it, done. See what I'm saying? You got to move on. Paul said, this is how my imagination, this is the process of my thinking. I forget what's back there, and I reach for what's ahead. That's what I'm doing. I don't care. You can bring up all my past because my past in the past, I'm going to go forward. That's what I got to be doing, Paul said, because I still got life. And as long as I got breath in my body, I still got a chance to get across that line. But I can't if I keep dragging my past with me, my past thoughts, my past failures, or my past successes. I'm leaving all that behind so that I can do what? Focus. All of it in the garbage can. All of it in the garbage disposal. Wash it out. Doesn't matter you were successful yesterday. What about today? Doesn't matter you talked nice to your wife yesterday. What about today? Doesn't matter that you did this good yesterday. What about today? God is interested in the day, now. So I get my imagination. And then you can see why you can't do nothing but get happy. How can you not get happy if you know that you are doing what God tells you to do, knowing that the end result is that you're going to go to heaven, and that when it's over, God has a life hid for you, and it's coming. I'm going to get there. It doesn't matter what the pain is like. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter where I'm going, because I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's what happens when I'm on that treadmill. When I get to an hour, and I got another hour to go, I look and I say, I'm going to get there. And I just keep counting it down 1 second at a time, and every day it gets to 2. But when I'm in that bed, and Lord, it's a struggle every day to get up and go do it. But I realize if I don't go do it, it ain't going to get done. And that's the same thing with this. I have to realize that God is saying, look, the devil, you in a war. Why do y'all think it's called that? The weapons of your warfare are not carnal. Because the devil is like, ooh, I got something for you today. I'm going to show God you don't love him like you say you do. I'm going to show God you don't even care about him. I'm going to show God you ain't never even, God ain't never even on your mind. That's what he's saying. That's what he's going to try to prove, right? And look what Paul says. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And that word minded, again, is the same word connected to imagination. He says, let us be thus minded. How are you supposed to be imagining it? I imagine my life like this. It's gone. Whatever happened, that's over. I can't do nothing about none of the mistakes I made. It ain't none of this. I ain't unhappy about it. Oh, when I was 20, if I had done this. When I was 30, if I had done that. Oh, if I had went to school and done this. Oh, I could not die. Cut it off. That's my imagination. I don't even imagine the past. I turn to the future, and I set my affection on God, and I say, whatever I'm about to go through, God, I'm going to go through it knowing that I'm going to learn about you, but I also know that when I die, I have a place. People keep saying today, why you want people living for when they die? Because they're going to die, and that's important. They would have you believe that what? Oh, this life is more important. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't try to do the best you can. But I tell you what, when you're dead, you ain't going to matter to you what you did unless you did the right thing. Because if you didn't, it ain't going to go well. Look at what Paul says. He says, let us therefore, let's get down to verse 16. He says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same things. Brethren, be followers together of me. Now Paul is telling us, follow him. Not Pastor Bobo, not this one, that one, the other one. They got all these things they come up with. And mark them which walk as we do for examples. And then look at what he says. And this is frightening. And I hope that's none of y'all. None of us. Not me. He says, for many of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose shame, glory is in their shame, who mind or imagine earthly things. For our lifestyle is in heaven. Our citizenship, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we have to look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Paul said, he was writing, he says, y'all, I'm telling you, right now I'm writing this and I'm crying right now. He said, because I'm telling you, there are a lot of people who are going to go to hell. He said, and the reason is because they mind earthly things. They have their affection set on the earth and not on the cross of Christ. They're enemies. When you look at the cross of Christ, there's so many people who don't want to even be like, listen, today, I'm not telling you to go out and offend people on purpose. You shouldn't do that. We're not supposed to live that way. God didn't tell us to live that way. But at the same time, there's some people so fearful of anyone being offended by anything they think or whatever. When even Jesus was hated by people, Jesus said, look, no, you're not above the master now. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. They're going to come a point, they're going to hate you. But you don't want people hating you for the wrong reason, because you're a busybody in other men's matters. You're a tattletale. Y'all, that got it. But there's going to come a moment where some folk are just going to hate the lifestyle you advocate. There's some people hate the fact that I say what I say. Cast aside all this foolishness y'all got going on. I ain't talking about y'all. I'm just saying. Get your mindset. You got to go to work. I got that. You got to do all that. But you're going to die. And as a pastor, I want to make sure when you die, that I ain't up here preaching a fake funeral. Oh, well, so-and-so, and then I got to make up lies. And Paul says, look, I'm crying. Paul says, look, these people are enemies. And what's so crazy about it, when you look at the word mind here, see where it says, whose end is destruction in verse 19, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, in the Greek, the word mind actually means literally the matrix. Now, I don't know if y'all seen the movie at all or know anything about it. But the bottom line is, Paul is saying they're in the matrix. And the matrix is nothing other than a simulated dream world where you get to be what you want to be, either what the machines make you, or if you come out, you can go back in and be what you want. See, a lot of people believe this is the way it is with God. Now they got saved. Go be what you want. Be the best whatever you can be, doing whatever it is you're doing. And the bottom line is never, ever, ever considering that God might not be pleased with my life because I'm pursuing things for the wrong reason. And I got to realize this is important. So my imagination's got to get, I got to shape this thing according to the word of God. Now what I do is I realize, and I'm going to end with this. Remember what I said, that the mind that's in Christ is the mind that processes correctly. See, when you look at what it says in Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to go back there again. It says, let this mind be in you, Philippians 2:5, which was also in Christ Jesus. So God is saying, this is the mind I want you all to have. This is the matrix I need you living in. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, Jesus himself deserved all the praise of God because he was God. He deserved all of that. He should have been the man, as they say. He should have come a king. He should have had all the worship, all the glory. Everything belonged to him because he created it all. He did it. But the Bible says, instead of demanding that, in verse 7, he made himself of no reputation. Now listen to people today. How many people you know today trying to make themselves of no reputation? Everybody trying to get a rep. Everybody trying to be whatever. Everybody trying to get their church to have a rep. Everybody, you know, when people say that to me, look at such and such church, they doing this. I don't care. Who could care? Don't your church want to be? No, no, no. I told somebody the other day, we were going to do something. I said, I don't care if we put no signs out. Them people ain't got no nothing about what we doing. Look, let's just do this. Jesus said, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand doing. Can't we just do something for the Lord and just be quiet? You know what I'm saying? Instead, everybody got their rep they pushing. You know what I'm saying? And he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Here is God saying, look, here I am. And instead of me demanding you treat me like God, I give myself no rep. I come like a servant and I'm made like y'all. And then being found like us, he humbles himself, not just to the point of being humble, but to the point that he dies. I mean, he had a right to say, okay, God, that's it. I've done everything. I live right. I was perfect. I healed people. I did everything right. I'm out of here. These people don't accept nothing. They're not going to live right. They're not going to do it. The Bible says he humbled himself to the death of the cross. But look what happens because of that. In verse 9, I didn't give you this, what it says. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. The Bible says, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Folks, had he not pressed through. See, this is what I'm saying for you. He says, get this mind in your head. This is what I want y'all to imagine. This is how I want you to see. This is how I want you to process stuff now. Get this mind in you that was in Jesus. That although he was God and deserved everything, he was great, he was wonderful, he should have been worshipped. Instead, he humbled himself, didn't got to get no rep, and made himself of no reputation, became a servant, did what he was supposed to do, even to the point where when God demanded he lay down his life and die, he died. That's the mind I want you to have about God. That's what I need you to understand. Do you understand why if you're married, that works? You see why your marriage gets better? But what happens is you have both people imagining, I ain't going to let you take advantage of me. Yeah, you know, in other words, look, I ain't going to die. Let Sister Lori be messing on me, stepping on me all the time. Or she says, I ain't dying. My pastor be in here telling me what to do all the time, stepping on me. But if everybody was dead, because we're not going to dead and lie on the ground, we humble ourselves and we become servants to one another, what ends up happening is, for you know it, everybody happy. You doing what I want, I'm doing what you want, we doing it. Why? Not because you want it, but because God told me to. Because he said, let this mind be in you. So when she asked me to do something, instead of running through my imagination, this stuff I got in the freezer, What I run through my mind is God will highly exalt you because you esteem what he says. So go ahead and do it. Why? Just do it. Lay down your life. Go do it. See, a lot of people will say, and I'm going to close with this, I'll do anything God tell me. Yeah, right. You know, if it's God, they say. But the Bible tells us all the time stuff we do, we ain't doing it, right? I mean, so God's like, look, in one place he says, love your brother. Because if a man can't love his brother, he can't love God. He ain't never even seen God. Like I said, it's going to be interesting. If God has a race, which he doesn't, we know he doesn't in his spirit. But let's think about if God had a race. I'm telling you, if God was black, some people wouldn't go to him. If God was white, some people wouldn't go to him. Why? Because they don't like him. Yeah, I mean, they don't like black people. They don't like white people. They wouldn't go. But they don't like this one, but they like God. They ain't never seen God. We don't know nothing about God. We don't know what he looks like. We don't know what his shape is like. We don't really know what we have based on everything we believe is beautiful and wonderful and great and to be desired. That's what we talk about. But God says, look, all I need you to do is focus on what I'm saying and shape your imagination correctly. Start looking at how Jesus did it, and then you start to see how he got there. The Bible says that he, in Isaiah, the Bible says he looks out and he sees all of us. Yeah, each one of y'all who've given your life to him, when Jesus was on that cross, he was able to see down through the eons people that would come to him. And the Bible says that imagination there caused him to keep going. Yeah, that idea, that thought. See, the best thing that, and I don't mean to be doing this, it just kind of links up because God talks about marriage a lot and us being married to him. The biggest thing that could help even a husband, let's say, is to know that God says, do you want to have your prayers answered? Relent, you want your prayer answered? You want your prayers answered? Okay. You want your prayers answered? Okay. Hey, you want your prayers answered? But Chris? Yeah. The Bible says that if a man is bitter with his wife, God will hinder his prayers. Now, you would think that would be more than enough incentive for you to say, you know what? I ain't about to be bitter with her. I got to get that right so that what? My prayers don't get hindered. I want to get on my knees. And God ain't interested in, you know, well, Lord, you need to understand. No, I don't. He don't understand. God said, I understand. This is how it works. I need you to process and see if my imagination then what? I understand the end result. What it will do is cause me, if nothing else, to come into line in my thinking and begin to flush stuff down the garbage disposal that makes me bitter. If there's something that was said or something that whatever, and I'm hindering it on, it's in the freezer, get it out, thaw it, and flush it down, y'all. Get it out of there. See, because that way then I know that what? God will give me that which I want. And this is what the Bible says about Jesus. Jesus didn't want to die. Did y'all see what he said in the garden? Jesus prayed, Father. The Bible says he was so much stressed, it was great drops of blood. He didn't want to die. But he said, Father, nevertheless, not thine will but mine be done. And why did God let it go? Because there was no other way to get us there. That's why the Bible says that's the love that God had for us, that he was willing to lay down his life for us when we didn't even deserve it. We didn't even want God. We didn't even know God. And God did what? Still died. That's why he says, if I lay down my life for you, you lay down your lives for one another. Because none of y'all, none of us deserve him. So I want y'all to lay down your lives for each other. Think about all the bitterness and everything that could just go away if we just would lay down our life for one another. Try to understand one another. Okay, I don't get it all, but you know what? Hey, it ain't worth fighting about. I don't want to do that. God told me what? To love. And that then, when my imagination begins to process like Jesus, that my mind now is like Jesus. The question is, if you had saw the movie The Matrix, the question is when people would jack into the thing, they would come out looking like whatever they wanted to be. And you could see all the people come out looking all cool and these dark shades and all that. The question is, if you jacked in, what would you come out looking like? And the image God says that he wants is the image of Christ. That, yeah, I don't know if you remember at the end there was this guy. He was going to go back into the Matrix. He says, put me back in. But when I go back in, I want to be somebody important, like an actor or a movie star. Why? Because that's what mattered to him, being important. And God says, look, y'all, I'm telling you, there's a world beyond this one. It's real. It's true, and you it's waiting for you. But you got to get your imagination right so that you can work your way through it and the devil can't cause you to stumble. All right, every head bowed, every eye closed.